Rabotai, it is a great schus, not only for our community and for the OU Israel Center, but for me personally to be able to welcome the Rosh Yeshiva back to the OU Israel Center. Rosh Yeshiva, of course, as is well known, goes out of his way to make himself accessible to anyone who is looking to learn Torah, anyone who has a shaila l'halacha, and certainly to us at the OU Israel Center, we are the beneficiaries of Rav Schechter's guidance and chesed on a daily basis, and we have the great schus of being able to host a Rosh Yeshiva for every one of his visits and to learn together with him. So without further ado, Moreno v'Rabbeinu Rav Herschel Schechter.
The Mishnah tells us that the two jolliest days in the year used to be Yom HaKippurim and Chamishasa Be'av, when they used to make Shiduchim, the girls would go dancing and the boys would pick out wives. And the Gemara has a long arichas on this. What exactly is the historical background of a Chamishasa Be'av that it should be such a happy day? Our practice is that on Mincha, on Yom HaKippurim, we learn Parshas Arayis. We learn about which relatives one is not permitted to marry. So Tosfos discusses why does that Kriya fit in with Yom Kippur. So they give one suggestion, because they used to make a lot of Shiduchim on Yom Kippur. So that's why the Chachamim were misaken that we should learn the Parsha, Parshas Arayis, that people should keep in mind whom they're not permitted to marry. Tosfos gives other answers. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a very interesting suggestion. There is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Ramoah that represents a machlokes in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. What is the Kriyas HaTorah all about? Mincha on Yom Kippur. We have, when do we have Kriyas HaTorah by Minchas? We have on a Tainis Tzibur. We learn Kriyas HaTorah, we learn Baichal, and then we have Dush HaShem B'Himotso. And then we have a Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos to Mincha. Yontem to Mincha, we don't have Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos we have. But Shabbos to Mincha, we don't say any Haftorah. On the Tainis Tzibur, we say Haftorah. On Yom Kippur, we say Haftorah. So the Rishonim had a Machloikas, and the Chaber and the Ramah have this Machloikas from Shulchan Aruch. What is the Kriyas HaTorah all about on Yom Kippur to Mincha? So one opinion is that you end off the Birchas Haftorah after you finish the Haftorah, you end off Magen David. You don't say the last baruch al Torah ve'al avod about Yom HaKippurim hazeh. You don't end off Mekadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaKippurim. You end off Magen David because it's a kriya like a Tainis Tzibur. Yom Kippur is a Tainis Tzibur. So that's why you're laying with a Haftorah by Mincha. The other opinion is no, that Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos. There's no heter echal nefesh on Shabbos, no heter echal nefesh on Yom Kippur, whereas on Yom Tov there is. Yom Kippur is more similar to Shabbos than it is to Yom Tov. And on Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, true bizman is that we don't say any Haftarah, but in days of the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Perek Lamed Madlikin, the Gemara said that they used to say Haftarah to Shabbos afternoon to Mincha. The Mishnah says, Ei Maftir Menavi. Mishnah Megillah says, you don't say Maftir. So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan, you don't see mafta from Navi, but they used to have mafta from Ksuvim. What is that all about? Once a year. every Shabbos afternoon. What's up? The Haftarah is always from Navi, and Punkta on Shabbos afternoon, when you have Haftarah, the Haftarah is from Ksuvim. Rav Soloveitchik used to explain that in the days of the Tanoim, it used to be Exera de Rabbanon. It's in Perek. Perek called Kisvei, Masechah Shabbos had 24 prokim. So one perek begins called Kisvei. So the Mishnah talks about certain svarim from Tanakh that you're not allowed to learn on Shabbos. What svarim from Tanakh you're not allowed to learn? You're not allowed to learn Ksuvim, because some of the stories in Ksuvim are so fascinating. It's like reading a novel. And the Chacham used to give a drasha, Chacham used to give a shiur. People worked the whole day. They worked 6 days a week. They took off on Shabbos. And the Chachamim wanted everybody to listen to the Droshas HaChacham. So some of the stories in Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel are so fascinating. We're afraid the people will learn Ksuvim and they'll forget about, they won't put down the novel. And it's not a novel, it's true stories. And it has about the Nevuah, Lasei Lava, about Yemos HaMashiach. So they won't come to hear the Droshas HaChacham. So they made Gzeirah de Rabbanon that you're not allowed to read Ksuvim on Shabbos. Our practice is that when you have Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach and you learn Shir Hashem, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you learn Koheles. So we learn Ksuvim, we learn Koheles, we learn Shir Hashem. So Leitchik said, we should really first learn Kriyas HaTorah and then learn the Koheles and the Shir Hashem. The Torah is more important than the Ksuvim. So the Kriyas HaTorah should come first. We always have Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas, the Megillus is once in a long while. So he said the practice is that we lay Koheles and Shir Hashem before Kriyas HaTorah. Why? So he said, I think in the name of his father, his mother. He said his mother told him this Chiddush, that the Issa Kriyas Ksuvim on Shabbos begins with the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning and it ends with Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. So before the Chevret Tilim in Europe always used to say all week long, the practice used to be that they would say Tilim after Shachris. And on Shabbos, the practice would either be that the Chevret Tilim would say Tilim before Shachris, or they would say after Mincha. Why don't they say after Musaf? Not going to take forever. It's not going to take so long. They're not going to fast till after Chatzos if they say a little Tilim. It won't kill them if they say another 10 minutes of Tilim on Shabbos after Musaf. So he said, his mother said, that is because of this Kriya, Issa Kriyas Ksuvim. We don't have the Rosh Hashanah Chacham anymore. So strictly speaking, the Issa Kriyas Ksuvim on Shabbos doesn't apply. But this was a carryover from the time that they had the Issa Kriyas Ksuvim. They said that that's the reason why we learn Koheles and Shir Hashirim before Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. It really should have been after, because Torah B'Shein HaTorah, and Chumash is more important than the Ksuvim. But the Issa Kriyas Ksuvim sets in after Kriyas HaTorah. So his mother, I think, told him that that's why the Kriyas Taisus quotes Rabbi Natam, that on Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, his mother Gemara, there was a mafter, but the mafter was Menavi, was with Ksuvim, to publicize the fact that the Issa Kriyas Ksuvim is off. You can learn Ksuvim now. After Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha, in Kalen Ksuvim. So this was the other opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that on the Kriyas HaTorah, on Yom Kippur to Mincha, is not Betorah's Taina Sibur, but rather B'Toiras Shabbos, that Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, and just like on Shabbos you have Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha with the Haftorah, so to on Yom Kippur. On Shabbos Haftorah used to be from Ksuvim, that was a special reason, but on Yom Kippur afternoon, the Kriyas HaTorah was because it's Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. And therefore, since it's B'Toiras Yom Kippur, so you should say the last bracha also, you shouldn't add the Magen David, So Leitchik pointed out that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have a different nigun for the Kriyas HaTorah and a different nigun for the Aliyah. The person gets an Aliyah, said the regular, Bachos Hashem, Hamavirach, he said, Bachos Hashem, Hamavirach, Baruch Hashem, Hamavirach. The Olam Va'ed, an eerie nigun. The same thing, the Kriya has a separate, an eerie Kriya. It's not the same as all year long. So the Yom Kippur afternoon to Mincha, there are two minhagim, whether the Oyla Latara says the Bracha, Baruch Hashem Hashem Baruch, with the eerie nigun, and the Balkari lanes with the eerie nigun for Yom and Aroim, or it's a regular Kriya. So he said, we should be consistent. He said, if they plan to say the bracha ala Torah ala avay, the malavim, ayam ha-kippurim hazen, then it's a kriya b'toras yom kippur. So then the niguanim should be with the iri nigan, both for the birchas ha-oil ala Torah and for the balkari. But if you go to end off, magen dovid means that the kriya is b'toras tainas tzibur, so it should be with the regular nigan that you sing all year long when you get an aliyah on Monday or Thursday, the regular nigan for the bracha and the regular nigan for the for the Kriyas HaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik said, if the Kriyas HaTorah is B'Toras, Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos, so the Gemara says, wherever you left off, let's say the 2 days ago was Shabbos, so we learn Parshas Dvarim. So what do you learn Shabbos afternoon to Mincha? So the Gemara has a lashon, Mokem Shemafsikim, the Shabbos B'Shachris, that's where you learn by Mincha. So on Yom Kippur to Shachris, what do we learn? We learn the beginning of Achrei Mois. So you should continue in Achrei Mois to Mincha. If it's B'Toras Yom Kippur, you should, Torah's Yom Kippur is like a Shabbos, so Parshas Arayis is right after the Parsha that we read in the morning. That was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion. But Taisus says there are other suggestions, they have a few suggestions. Why were the Chacham and Mesak and the Kriya of Parshas Arayis? So one suggestion is because Yom Kippur used to be the day that was Meyuchat to make all of the Shiduchim. What exactly is the background of the Yontov of Chamisha Sabav? So the Gemara in the end of Tainis quotes different historical events that happened. So one of them was Hutru Shvat Melinase Zeboze. That's based on the psukim at the very end of Chumash Bamidbar that we just learned last week ago on Shabbos. At the end of Chumash Bamidbar, the Chumash tells us that the Bnei Slavchad came. In Parshas Pinchas, I think it says Bnei Slavchad came, and the Esna Shaiva, they're entitled to get Yerusha from the father. So Moshe Rabbeinu get paskin that they get Yerusha. Then at the end of Parshas Masei, it says that the representatives from Shevet Ben Asher came to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Esna Shaila. If the Bnei Slavchad are going to get a Yerusha, then they're going to marry somebody outside of their Shevet. So then Yerusha will go to a different Shevet. When they will die, no one lives forever. So when the Bnei Slavchad or the girl, Chabas Ereshes Nachla, will die, like is the Rambam and the Raivet had a Paskan. The Rambam Paskan that Abal Yoshes Ishtoi is only a Din der Rabbanon, and the Raivet Paskan is like the other Tana, that Abal Yoshes Ishtoi is a Din der Raisa. That's at least we have a machlokes satanaim. There's another machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivet. In the beginning of Parshas Emor, it says that a kohen is not permitted to be metamei lemeisim unless it's one of the relatives. So the Chumash lists off six relatives: father or mother, a brother, a sister, a son or a daughter. But the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets that the pasuk is kim the shero hakara ve'elov shero zuishtoi, that there's a seventh relative. The relative is the wife. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivet, whether Habal metame akoinis metame leishto, is that a din deraisa, din derabban? So that's a pellet. The Gemara never has a machlokes about that. The Gemara has a machlokes whether Bal Yorish is ishto is a din deraisa, din derabban. The Gemara doesn't have any machlokes. That's what the Raivet is. Where in the world did the Rambam get this wild idea that akoinis is only metame leishto, is only medrabbanon? The Gemara says a different case that it's only medrabbanon. The Gemara says if a man married a ktana, a man marries a ktana, and a ktana can't be mekabel kedushin. She's alav bazdas. So if the father is alive, so the father marries her off. That's a din deraisa. The father's not alive, and the mother marries her off, or the older brother, that's only kedushin miyun. That's only the rabbanon. And nonetheless, even though it's only kedushin the rabbanon, the koyin is still metame. If the husband is a koyin, the wife dies, the husband is metame. So the Gemara asks, how can that be? So the Gemara says, even though Menator, she's not married, with the Rabbanon, he's Metame. The Gemara says, in that rare case, that the Kohen married a woman, he's only married with the Rabbanon. There is Metame with the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, how can they Metame with the Rabbanon? And Kerach B'yad Chacham, Allah Kedom, Menator, B'kum, Yaseh, how can they allow that? So the Gemara says, it's in a certain sense, it's like a meis mitzvah. But the Rambam writes that every case, that he calls Metame Lishna, even if he marries a Gedolah, the girl is 19 when he married her. Still, it's only Metame with the Rabbanon. So the Rabbi asks, where in the world did he get this from? So the Raga Chabe writes that it's the same Shaila with Abal Yorish and Sishta is a din deraisa, din derabban. Because after the wife dies, that's the end of the marriage. So they're not related anymore. So the Mandama, the opinion in the Tanoim holds that Abal Yorish and Sishta is only with the Rabban. Why? Because Benatar, after they marry, that's the termination of the marriage. Just like if he gave her a get, he's not mitame, he does the Arshin. So the minute the wife dies, so they're not married anymore. So the Tana, who's of the opinion that Abal Yorish Ishta is only with the Rabbanon, he's going to hold also that Abal Metame Ishta is only with the Rabbanon. The minute the wife dies, he can't be married to a dead person. So that's where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam passed like the Tana, Abal Yorish Ishta is only with the Rabbanon. So we merely understood that Abal Metame Ishta is only with the Rabbanon. And the Gemara that the Rabbi quotes, that Gemara is going with the normal Shita, that Abal Yorish Ishta is their Eis. So that's how the Rabbi passes. And the Mela Abal Metame Ishta is then their Eis. So either the representatives from Shevet Menashe came to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, Shaila, what's going to be? Chobas Yeresh Esnachlo is going to marry Yadav HaShevet, and then she's going to die before the husband, then the husband is going to Yarsh, and if you hold up all Yeresh Esishta Zedin Deraisa, it's going to come out that part of the area in Eretzah that's supposed to be Shevet Menashe, part of it will belong to Shevet Yehuda, to Shevet Yisachar, whoever she married. If you hold that Abba Yerusha Sish is only with the Rabbanon, so who does get the Yerusha Menator? The children. So the children belong to the other Shevet, because the Pasuk says, the Mishpachosim and the Beis Abayisim, Mishpachasav Kriyim, Mishpacha, Mishpachasim, Eina Kriyim, Mishpacha. So if the mother is from Shevet Ben Asher, and the father is a Kohen or a Levi or whatever, so the children will not be Shevet Ben Asher, the children will be Shevet Kohuna. Shevet Levi, the children, father, the Mishpacha Sav Kriyim Mishpacha, Mishpacha Zameinu Kriyim Mishpacha. So even if you hold that Abal Yoresh Hashish, there's only a din the Rabban, the children, Yashma, the children belong to the other Shevet. She's going to marry out of the Shevet. So this was the Shaila that they asked Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the din, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him the din, Chalbas Yoresh is Nachla, not allowed to marry out of the tribe. But we don't observe that din today. So the Gemara explains that this was only Hayra Shah. This din, any girl who gets a Yerusha, not allowed to marry out of her tribe, was only Hayra Shah. How long did the Hayra Shah last? So the Gemara, it's unclear. So the Ramban and Chumash explained, only lasted for the first 14 years after they crossed over the Yarden. The Gemara says that the full Kedusha Eretz Yisrael required Kibush V'chiluk. The conquest of Eretz Yisrael took 7 years. Sheva Shekopshu. There were only Zayin Umas living in Eretz Yisrael, but there were Lamed Aleph Malachim. How come there were Lamed Aleph Malachim? Because Eretz Yisrael is centrally located. It's the link between Europe, Asia, and Africa. And politically, it's an important link. That's why Napoleon wanted to take over Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Nazis wanted to take over Eretz Yisrael. When the Nazis started to bomb Palestine, they wanted to take over. That's when they started to lose the war. Whoever controls Eretz Yisrael, if they're a powerful country, can have an influence on the three continents. So the Lamed Aleph Malachim had palaces in Eretz Yisrael. So it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. That says in Sefer Yehoshua. Then the Gemara in the end of Erechin has an oral tradition that it took another 7 years to do the Chalukah Sa'aretz. First they had to divide Chalukah L'Shvatim, then they had Chalukah L'Mishpachah, then they had to have Chalukah L'Yechidim. So finally, after 14 years, Eretz Yisrael got the full Kedusha Sa'aretz. So year 15 was the first year that they were Mafrish Trumas HaMaisis, and the first year that they gave Leket Shikra Pei, and so on. And the first Shemitah was not 7 years after they crossed over the Yarden, but 21 years after. The first Yovel was not the 50th year, it was the 64th year, because the first 14 years it wasn't yet Eretz Yisrael. So the Bez Nagadol wasn't counting yet. The 15th year was year number one. This is the first year of Shemitah, and then the 21st year was the first Shemitah, and the 64th year was the first Yovel. So the Ramban explains in the commentary on Chumash that this was only Hayru Ashur when the Kedusha Sa'aretz will be completed with respect to Chiyav Chala. The Gemara said, Mi'ad she'nichnasu nischaivu b'chala. Chala is also from the mitzvah Sa'aretz. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael where there's Kedusha Sa'aretz. We have Mafresh Chala and Chutz L'aretz. Taisa says that's clearly only Midrabanan. It's a Derabanan on top of a Derabanan. His manner is even Chala in Eretz Yisrael is only Midrabanan. So Chala's Chutz L'aretz is a lower level of Derabanan than most other Derabanans because it's a Derabanan on top of a Derabanan. So the Gemara in B'chairis has a whole list of many, many coolest that apply to Chala's Chutz L'aretz because it's a Derabanan Kal. So So with respect to Chala, there was enough Kedusha Sa'aretz right away. Mishenichnasu la'aretz, there was a Chiyuv Chala. But the full Kedusha Sa'aretz only set in after the 14 years were up. So at the time that the Kedusha Sa'aretz was Chal, at the end of the 14 years, that's when this Hayra Shah ended. Right after, so the 14 years didn't have to end up with Rosh Hashanah of the 15th year. The Gemara has historical tradition. It was Hutru Shvatim Leinasi Zebazeh, Hamishasa Ba'av of the last year, a month and a half before the end of the year, the second half of Av, and then Elul, before Rosh Hashanah of the 15th year. So because Shiduchim, a boy, wanted to marry a girl out of his Shevet, and the girl was a Bas Yeresh Nachman, he couldn't marry her if he waited another month and a half. If he waited till Hamishasa Ba'av. Wait till Hamishasa Ba'av. The whole Chalukah Sa'aretz was finished. So then everybody was allowed to marry. So the Gemara HaKadusha of Eretz Yisrael was Chal after the 14 years. So that's why when the Gemara HaKadusha was Chal, that's why the Rebbe Shalom wanted that it should be clear Shevet Ben Asher should be in the hands of Shevet Ben Asher. Shevet Zvon should be in the hands of Shevet Zvon. That was the Hayru Ashur. It's interesting, the Gemara has a very strange statement that even though the Shaila was posed by Shevet Ben Asher with respect to Bnei Slavchad, and then the Tshuva, the Psach, was given Men HaShemayim to Moshe Rabbeinu, what the din is, the din only applied to all the other girls, Chol Bas Yeresh Es Nachla, anybody else, but the Bnei Slavchad were permitted to marry anybody they want. It says in the Chumash, not so. It says, Kim L'Mashpachas Beis Avi Atir L'Isha. Then it says, the Bnei Slavchad Falar, and they married L'Bnei Dod, they had L'Noshim. They married their cousins. So the Gemara says, no, that was an Eitz HaTayva. That was a recommendation. Sometimes you have a Sephardi marries an Ashkenaziya, or an Israeli marries an American. So it's sometimes the background is so different that it's hard for them to have Shalom bias. They have to have similar backgrounds. So the Rebbeinu Shalom recommended an Eitz HaTayva that Bnei Salavcha should also marry from the same Shevet. So they'll have a similar background. Strictly speaking, they were permitted to marry anybody they want. How did the Gemara come up with such an einfalt, such a wild idea? The whole Shaila was about Bnei Salavchan. And the Psak was given, and the simple reading of the Psukim is not so. What prompted the Chachamim to say such a wild name? Mefarshim and the Chumash talk about this. So the Pashto seems to be as follows. There's a Sefer Chumash that's called Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva. Most of the Sefer is all Hasidus and Kabbalah. It's way above my head. But every so often, he has something that I can understand. My father had a Kedushas Levi, so that's why I stole it. When I got married, I walked off with the Kedushas Levi that my father had. So the Kedushas Levi has on Parshas Bo a very interesting comment. Moshe Rabbeinu instructs Bnei Yisrael they should bring the Korban Pesach, Pesach Mitzrayim. So it says, Bnei Yisrael also kashat tziva Hashem es Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu instructs Bnei Yisrael that on Erev Pesach, they have to knock on the next door neighbor's doors, the Mitzrayim, and ask for matonis. So it says that they listened, everybody listened. Bnei Yisrael also kidvar Moshe. Kedushas Levi raises the question, how come by the Korban Pesach says Bnei Yisrael also kashat tziva Hashem es Moshe? And by Bizas Mitzrayim, Tanakh on the next Sunday, it doesn't say Bnei Yisrael also kashat tziva Hashem, it says kidvar Moshe. Why the Shinoi Loshen? So he says, because the term mitzvah is a technical term. Rashi writes in the opening comment on Parshas Tzav in the beginning of Vayikra, Ein Tzav Loshen Ziris Miyad Aladuris. Rashi is quoting from the Tanoim, from the Sifro. Most of the Rashi and Chumash is quoting, it's not Rashi. Most of the Rashi and Chumash is quoting from the Tanoim, from the Gemara, from the Medrash. When Rashi talks about Diktuk, that's on his own. But everything, whenever Rashi says something of substance, he's always quoting from the Tanoim, from the Mishnayos, from the Sifrei, from the Sifro. So Rashi writes that the term mitzvah is a technical term that has the connotation of a mitzvah that's noig l'doros. The Rambam also wrote a Sefer on mitzvahs, and he tries to figure out which of the Rambam wasn't the first, he wasn't the last. Before the days of the Rambam, the Ba'ag, Sefer Halachas Gedolos is a Sefer on mitzvahs. So the Rambam patterned his Sefer on mitzvahs after the Halachas Gedolos. And here and there, he takes issue with the Ba'ag, and he has a slightly different listing. So the Rambam, in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam postulates 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs in the Minyan of Mitzvah, what not. So the Rambam says, first he says, you only list mitzvahs deraisa. A mitzvah the Rabbanan wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. And the Lashon HaGemara is Taryag HaMitzvahs, Nemelon Moshe Mitzvah. The only count mitzvahs deraisa. And the Rambam says, you only count mitzvahs that are lefi pshuta shal mikra, Torah shebichsav. If something is a drosha of the Torah shebal peh, it doesn't belong. So the Ramban asks, why not? What, the Rambam thinks the whole Torah shebal peh is only made up in the Rabbanon? It's not in a Torah. No, that's not what the Rambam. The Rambam holds Torah shebal peh is deraisa. But the Rambam lishitosa, the Rambam in the Hakdomet to the Pirush HaMishnayis and the end of Gemara Brochas, the Rambam quotes the opinion of the Gaonim, that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So the Gaonim took it literally. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and every machloikis in the Gemara. The Gemara is full of machloikis. Every perek, they say, the Rishonim say, the only perek that doesn't have machloikis is perek Ezel Mekayman. There is machloikis there too, but it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnahs don't mention any machloikis. So that's what the Abu Dram says. He quotes earlier. So the reason why we choose to say Zema come in the morning before Baruch Shem, because that's the only Perek and Shas that doesn't have any Machlokes. So the Rambam says, how can it be? The most precious thing that we have is the Torah. And every page in the Gemara is full of Machlokes. They forgot every single din. They forgot every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he said, that's scandalous to say like that. He doesn't accept what the Gaonim said. He said, whatever they had a tradition for the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no Machlokes on. What Shechta Machlokes on Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, unless they forgot. They didn't forget everything. Once in a while, they forgot. Once in a while, you do have a Machlokes on Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. But it's very rare. That's the most precious thing we have. They didn't forget. Machlokes, well, new Shaila came up, and there was no tradition. So the Chachamim and every generation have the right to darshan using the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem. And what it says in the all the Midrashim, Kol Masha Talmud Vasa Gosel Chaymish Nema LaMoshe Mesinai, the Rama holds that it's not to be taken literally. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. The text of the Chamishu Chamshe Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the guiding principles of the Yud Gimel Midrash were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Chachamim in every generation have the right to dash the Pesukim the way they see fit. There's even a machlokes. The Chido wrote many, many Svarim. The Chido was a Sfaradish Goyin who lived in the 1700s. And the Chido has a sefer, a Megillas Rus. It's called Simchas HaRegel. And he quotes a machlokes Achreinim on the assumption, like the Rambam, that all the Yud Gimel Midrash are turned into Ashes Bam. Tamir HaChachamim in every generation have the right to be Mechadish, a new din that they had no tradition on. Does that din only apply mikan al haba, a din deraisa that was nischadish this year? Does it only apply mikan al haba? Do you say no? They discovered that the din was always like this since Maimon HaSinai. They're not inventing a new din. A din derabbanan they invent. So the Rosh in the beginning, first paragraph, and Chulin writes, din derabbanan only applies mikan al haba. And the Chachamim prohibit gvina sakum. So we have gvina sakum in your refrigerator that was made yesterday before they made the gzeirah. You can still eat it. And your pots are not treif. The gvina sakum that you cooked yesterday, don't make the pots treif. You can't eat the gvina sakum. It was beheter. So they make a din derabbanan, a dinim derabbanan, only apply mikan al haba. What about if they mechadish a din deraisa using the yud gimel midas? Does that din deraisa only apply mikan al haba? Many acharonim hold, the chazanish included. Many acharonim hold, the chidor lived in the 1700s. He quotes acharonim before his time, who hold that the dinim only apply mikan al haba. So that's what the Rambam said. The Rambam says, the Tayag mitzvahs, it cannot be that you include all the mitzvahs that are based on Torah Shebaal Peh. What's going to be in the next generation? The Bezdin is going to come up with another five drushes, with another five mitzvahs deraisa. So you have to throw out five mitzvahs that used to be included in Tayag, and now you have a different five mitzvahs? No. You start off with Tayag mitzvah, lefi pshutashon mikra. Then whatever mitzvahs are added on based on drushes of the Torah Shemal Peh, that's above and beyond the Taryag. So that's how the Rambam starts off. The Rambam in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs lists off the 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs in the Minyan of Mitzvahs and what not. So he says, you only include mitzvahs deraisa. You only include things that are Torah Shemichsav. Whatever is the drush of Torah Shemal Peh doesn't belong. Then he says, in the third cloud, you only include dinim that are noig l'doris. Like Rashi wrote on Parshas Tav, Ein Loshen Tzavah, Loshen Ziris, Miyad Oladaris, whatever is only High Rosh Hashanah doesn't belong. So the Rambam has HaSoga and the Bahag every so often. Why count as something as a mitzvah, Trumas HaMeches, that the soldiers had to give Echad Achuz Ben HaChamishim, Echad Achuz Ben Chamesh HaMeyos, and the Bnei Yisrael had to give Echad Achuz Ben HaChamishim, that's called Trumas HaMeches. Why the Bahag included that? That's only High Rosh Hashanah. The Moros of the Pharisees, it's not a din l'doris that in every generation, whenever the Jewish army is successful in battle and they walk with a lot of loot, that you have to donate a certain percentage to the Beis HaMikdash. There was only High Rosh Hashanah once in the history of the world. So that's what the Kedushas Levi points out. Pesach Mitzrayim was a, Korban Pesach is a din l'doris. There is a din of Korban Pesach. Pesach Mitzrayim had a whole bunch of High Rosh Hashanahs in connection with it. It said, Masnechem Chagurim, Nalechem Raglechem, Akelchem Yadchem, Achaltamosa Bechipazen, Alietish, Mpesach Pesach Boiker. These are all dinim only Haruasho. The Doris, there's no such din. Alietish, Mpesach Pesach Boiker. There's no such din. You have to eat it. Achaltamosa Bechipazen. You can eat it slowly. They don't have to wear their shoes. You can wear your slippers when you say the Agoda. All those were Haruasho. But in principle, that they had to bring a Korban Pesach. That's a din le dervis. At that, they pass against the lashon. When they saw lashon, kasha tziv Hashem is Moshe. They fulfilled the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach is a din le dervis. But they knock on the next door neighbor's doors to ask for matanas. That was only once in the history of the world. You're not mechuyev now to knock on the next door neighbor's doors. And even if you will, and the goyish next door neighbor will give you matanas, you haven't fulfilled any kiyum on mitzvah. There's no chiyev to do it, and there's no kiyum. So garnish min garnish. So whatever is only Harosh Hashanah can, the Pasuk can't say B'nai Yisrael also, Kasha Tziv Hashem is Moshe. It wasn't a mitzvah. That's why the Pasuk says B'nai Yisrael also, Kidvar Moshe. So here, when you look in the end of Parshas Maaseh, when the representatives, Meshavet Ben Asher, come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they ask, is that fair? We get Chelek Ben Asher in Eretz Yisrael, and then B'nai Tzlovchot, any Bas Yeresh HaSnachla is going to get a Yerusha, then you're going to marry someone out of the Shevet. It's going to come out that the whole area that's supposed to be Shevet Ben Asher, part of it is going to belong to Shevet Yehuda, part of it is going to belong to Shevet Yisachar. That's not fair. So the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what the din is. So yes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem. That Latoyd Be'enayim Teyenu, Benay Salofchi can marry Latoyd Be'enayim Teyenu L'Noshim. So the expression, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem, has the connotation of a din l'doris for two reasons. Number one, Asher Tziva Hashem, doesn't say Asher Omar, it has a technical term, Asher Tziva. And then it says, Zeh HaDavar. There's a Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos, where the Chumash, the Parsha there begins with the laws of Nedarim and Shavuos. So the Pasuk says, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem, if a person takes on Nedarim and Shavuos, and so on. So Rashi there quotes a big chunk from the Sifrei and the Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes introduces his Nevuos with the expression, Koyam Ar Hashem, and he shares this in common with other Nevi'im. Other Nevi'im also introduce a Nevuos by saying, Koyam Ar Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu had a higher level of Nevuah, which the others didn't have, that every so often he will say, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem. Why is that a higher level? And why is Koyam Ar Hashem a lower level? And how come sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu has a higher level of Nevuah, a lower level of Nevuah? So the Kedushas Levi has a comment there, and that passing in the beginning of Parshas Matos. I remember someone once asked Rav Soloveitchik about that Kedushas Levi. So he said, all the Kabbalists from say that. It's not unique to Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. There's a common idea by all the Mekubalim that there was a fundamental difference between the Vos Moshe Rabbeinu and that of Shanavim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisrael Torah, the main four differences between the Vos Moshe Rabbeinu and that of Shanavim. The other Nevim had a Nevuah Bachalom, they had a Chazon, a Mara HaNevuah. And then they would interpret the Mara HaNevuah using their own language, using their own expressions. And the Gemara says, no two people speak exactly alike, even if they're identical twins, they don't speak exactly alike. So if two Nevi'im are shown the same Nevuah, and they both say the same wording, word for word, exactly the same, that at least one of them is a Nevi Asheker. It cannot be that two people, even if they saw the same Aran, or two people saw the same movie, they're going to give you the report word for word, exactly the same. It cannot be, even if they're identical twins, they don't talk exactly the same. Each Navi expresses himself differently. So that's, other Nevi'im were given a Nevuah, Hayrasha, either to predict something that's going to happen, or something you should be mechuyev to do now temporarily, but it's not a din l'dor. So that's why the other Nevi'im, and Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says Hayrasha, he introduces it by saying, Koyam Ar Hashem. This is roughly what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. He's not quoting direct quotation, word for word, letter for letter. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Taryag Mitzvahs that are binding L'Doris, then he was given direct dictation. He'd be given direct dictation, word for word, and letter for letter. The Gemara learns that dinim from the fact that the word is sometimes spelled Mole, and sometimes spelled Chosah. The word Na'aro is usually spelled in Chumash Nun Ayin Reish. Once in a while, it's spelled Nun Ayin Reish Hey. So the Gemara has a reason why. There's Aloch Lamaisa and Afkamino Ladina. Word Tahor. Usually spelled Tes Hei Vav Reish. Once in a while it's spelled Choser, Tes Hei Reish. The word learns out of Din. He's a Tohar al Atome, Tohar Kol Dehu. He's incompletely Tohar. The word Kadosh is usually spelled Kuf Dalet Vav Shin. Once in a while it's spelled Choser. So the Torah's Kohanim has a drush on the opening Pasuk. In Kadoshim Ti, Kadosh Ani Hashem Alakechem. How can Kadoshim is missing a Vav and Kadosh Ani is Mali Vav? So the Tanoim have a drush on that. We believe the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. It wasn't that he saw a chazon and a mara, and he's interpreting using his own language. What right do you have to be medayek l'shoynis if it's Moshe Rabbeinu said? No, the answer is he was dictated pal pal dababoy. He was dictated word for word, letter for letter, and he wrote it down. So that the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Shanavim, sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu got a hayrasha. Five times, I think, in Parshas Bo, Moshe Rabbeinu introduces his Nevuah by saying, Koyam Ar Hashem. Koyam Ar Hashem, kachatzoy salayl, ani yatzei b'sech mitzayim. That's not a din l'doris. He's predicting Makas B'chor is going to occur at chatzoyis. Koyam Ar Hashem about Dever, about the different Makas. Whenever it says Koyam Ar Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is also just giving Hayirah Shoh. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu got a Nevuah by Hayirah Shoh, he saw a chazon and a mara, and he's interpreting using his own language. That's what the Kedushas Levi explains. As Rav Soloveitchik said, all the Mekubalim say like that. Only when Moshe Rabbeinu is given dinim, the Taryag Mitzvahs, dinim Ledoros, that's what he's given, direct dictation, word for word, and letter for letter. That's when it says, Zeh HaDorah Shatziv HaShem. So here, by this din, that Benoy Salofchad can marry whomever they want, says, Zeh HaDorah Shatziv HaShem. Zeh HaDorah means a din Ledoros. Shatziv HaShem means a din Ledoros. So it says, the Benoy Salofchad, La'tai Be'enem Tiyen Al-Anashim, Rak Mishpacha Saviyah Tiyen Al-Anashim. So how can that be? But that's only a Hayru Asher, the din that you're not allowed to marry out of the Shevet. How can the Pasuk introduce it by saying, Zeh HaDorah, Ashatib Hashem, that both, either of the two expressions means that it's a din l'doros. If the whole din is only a din Hayru Asher. So that's why the Gemara understood, Zeh HaDorah, Ashatib Hashem is a din l'doros, but it's Slavcha Kemal, Atoy Be'enem Tiyen Al-Nashem, anybody they want from any Shevet, the din l'doros applies to them. They don't have any Hayru Asher. I, but the second half of the Pasuk says, Achle Mishpacha Savim, that was an Eitz HaTayva. And then the next Pasuk says that they followed the Eitz HaTayva. It's a smart thing to marry a girl with a similar background. You don't have a mixed marriage between Asfardi and Ashkenazi. You're going to have friction in the marriage. Which Minhagim they have? There won't be any Shalom Bayis if they don't have a similar background. So that's what the Gemara had a tradition. The din that you're not allowed to marry out of the Sheva was only intended as a Hayru Asher. And the Pasuk says the two expressions, Zeh HaDorah Shatziv HaShem means a din l'doros, that goes on, the din l'doros applies to the Benoy Salofchad. There was no din l'shoah for the Benoy Salofchad. It's interesting, the Pasuk also tells the way Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yoshua. It's also on Parshas Pinchas, I think. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, she b'samach nasiyot chola, she put his hand on. So the Gemara says that, we call it smicha. You confer ordination to a Talmid Chacham, to a rabbi. So that's called smicha. So the Gemara said, but smicha biyad was only Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam thinks that that wasn't only Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua, but not even when he gave smicha to the Shivim Skenim. That's a chiddush. The commentaries don't explain how the Rambam know that. Maybe it's only Harosha by Yeshua. But that's what the Rambam writes. But Ledoris, the Gemara says, smicha is only b'shem. He said, Rebbe Ata, yesh lecha rishus, lot din iknosis. We confer smicha upon you. How did the Tanoim know that the smicha biyad is only for Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe it's a din l'doros. So in Europe, they had the maskilim were making fun of the Gemara all the time, so they knew history better than the Gemara. So they said the Gemara is wrong. It always used to be smicha biyad, and only when they had the Roman persecutions, and they would kill whoever would give. The Gemara tells stories. They killed, wiped out the whole community if they would give smicha in the community. So one Tana gave smicha to a few Talmidim, and he was Moisa Nefesh to give smicha, and then the Romans killed him. So that's what the Maskilim said, that it changed in the days of the Roman persecution. They changed it that it's only smicha b'peh. So there was a big Talmid Chacham who wrote this in his Sefer. So Moshe Feinstein wrote him a letter disagreeing with him. So he has in the Chelek HaShem Mishpah, he has the first letter. He says, how do you have the right to say against the Gemara? How did the Gemara know it though? Maybe the Maskilim are right. The answer is, it's Beferish in the Chumash. If you read when the Chumash says that Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua ben Nun, so it says, he conferred smicha on Yeshua ben Nun, kasha tziva Hashem also, says kasha tziva. The institution of smicha is a din l'doros, so the term smicha applies. Then it says, v'yismach l'siyad av'olav, kidvar Hashem. Doesn't say kasha tziva Hashem. Two different psukim. He gave the smicha kasha tziva, and he put his hand on kasha dibra elav Hashem. Because the one is a din l'doros, and one is a din l'shoah. The one that's a din l'doros, that says kasha tziva. The one that's a hayru Asher, that says kidvar Hashem. This Mishnah is very surprising. Mishnah says that the two jolliest days in the calendar year used to be Yom Kippur, and Chamisha Sabav, the girls would dance and the boys would take wives. There's a Mishnah in Beitza that you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So how were the girls dancing? It seems like I had the approval of the Rabbanim. Everybody's going along with this. How are you allowed to dance on Yom Kippur? In recent years, the Hasidim changed the din. The Hasidim dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Munkacher wrote a tshuva to defend the meaning of the practice of the Hasidim. He says the whole reason why you're not allowed to dance is because you may get carried away. Hashemi Yisakin Kleishir. He may fix a broken musical instrument. That'll be a violation of Misakin Mana. So it's a Gzeirah Ben Derabbanan. So the Munkacha writes, but the Chassidim dance, but the Hislav is the Kedusha. So there's no chashash that they're going to get carried away. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva. He says, only the Chassidim know how to dance with it. The holy Tanoim, they didn't know how to dance with Islam. He makes fun of it. What do you mean? Tanoim are talking. Tanoim say you're not allowed to dance. It's a taina. It's a strong taina. So how can it say that the girls were dancing on Yom Kippur? Furthermore, it's a problem. The Gemara says, all the girls would dance, they would dance with fancy dresses. Not all the girls had fancy dresses. So the poor girls had to borrow from the wealthier girls. So they're going to be embarrassed. The wealthy girls have their own dresses, and the poor girls have to marry, have to borrow from others. In order that they don't should be embarrassed, everybody had to borrow. That was the rule. None of the girls could dance with their own. Everybody had to borrow. So it says that everybody would borrow from someone else. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Who would borrow? So the king's daughter, if the king has a son, the king's daughter would borrow from the Kain Gadol's daughter. Kain Gadol's daughter would borrow from the Mashiach Muhammad. Mashiach Muhammad's daughter would borrow from it says each one would borrow from someone else. No, what do you mean Mashiach Muhammad? In the Bai Sheni period, there was no Mashiach Muhammad. They had no Shem and Amishra. It says in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, Yoshio HaMelech was a king towards the end of the Bais Rishon period. He was going as the Aron HaBris with the Luchas, with the Shem and Amishra, with the Tzenes Amon. From that time on, they only had Kohanim Gedolim who were Merubah B'Godim. They didn't have any Mashiach B'Shem and Amishra. There's a discussion in the Mishnah in Nazir. At that period of time, you have the old Kohen Gadol who had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishra, and the new Kohen Gadol, after Yoshua HaMelech was going as the Shem and Amishra, you have the new Kohen Gadol. The old Kohen Gadol retired at the age of 95. You have a new young Kohen Gadol who didn't have Mashiach B'Shem and Amishra. He only had Merubah B'Godim. They're both, theoretically, they're both walking down the highway. No cell phone, no one else there, no other people there. They bump into a dead body. So, and you don't need both of them to be metame to this meis mitzvahs. Which one of the two should be metame? So the discussion in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah has it, have to be metame, hakala kal tchila. So the one that has Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, he has a higher level of Kain Gadol than the one who has Merubah B'Godim. But in the Bai Sheni, there was no Mashiach Muhammad. You can't have a Merubah B'Godim for a Mashiach Muhammad. He doesn't wish Merubah B'Godim, he only wears Dala B'Godim. So the only way to have a Mashiach Muhammad is Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. There was no Shem and Amishcha in Bai Sheni, so there can't be any Mashiach Muhammad. So what's the Mishnah? What is the Gemara talking about? The daughter of the Mashiach Muhammad would borrow a dress from the Zgan's daughter. There was no Mashiach Muhammad. So you get the impression from the Gemara that this dancing, this was in the Bais Rishon Tkufa. It could be that the Gzera de Rabbana wasn't made until the Bai Sheni. Most of the Gzeras de Rabbana were made during the Bai Sheni period. We know there are some gzeiros in the Bais Rishon. The Gemara says Shlomo HaMelech was goes in the Tilus Yadayim, Litrume. Dovan Melech died on Shabbos. The Gemara says he was Muta Bachama. So Shlomo HaMelech has to shag with the Chachamim. Is he allowed to move the dead body? A mace is Mukta. He's not allowed to move a dead body. So they told him they had to have Kikaratina. So that's a Chiddush, that the din of Mukta already existed in the days of Dovan HaMelech. And the din of the Tilus Yadayim already existed. Then Gemara says Shlomo HaMelech also made Gzeira Eruvi Chatzeris. You're not allowed to carry within a building, even though the whole thing is a building. It's a Rishus HaYochid. If you have this apartment, the Cohen family lives in that apartment, the Schneider family lives, so they ask around each other. No one's allowed to carry in the hallways unless they make an Erev Chatzeres. Erev Chatzeres is a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan that already was made by Shlomo HaMelech. But Ruba the Ruba of the Gzeirahs were made during the Bai Sheni period. The Baal HaTanya has an interesting drasha in the Likut HaTorah, in the collection of drashas for Rosh Hashanah. So he quotes that one of the earlier Achronim in the Halachas Ketanas, one of the earlier Achronim writes, that the Gzeira de Rabba, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to blow shofar. So the Gemara said that it wasn't introduced by Rabba. Rabba was an Amor. It existed way before. But Rabba explains it. It's a Gzeira Shemi Yavarena Dala Namas Bishos. I'm afraid someone's going to forget and they're going to carry the shofar on Shabbos. So how far back did they have the Gzeira? When was the Gzeira introduced? So the Gemara had a Havamina that it was a Din D'Oraisa, that you're not allowed to blow shofar while Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos. A Din D'Oraisa based on the Pasuk that sometimes Rosh Hashanah is described as Yom Truah, sometimes described as Zichron Truah, a day that you talk about Truah, Hazkir. Zichron doesn't always mean to remember, to speak about Zichron Truah. So then the Gemara said, no, it's not a Din D'Oraisa, it's a Din D'Rabbanan. So it was only a Din D'Rabbanan. How do you translate the phrase Zichron Truah? So some of the early achrayim, the halachas ketana suggest, this was a gzeirah derabbanan that was introduced by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Chumash refers to Rosh Hashanah. That Rosh Hashanah that the Chumash is talking about fell out on Shabbos. And Moshe Rabbeinu already made the gzeirah derabbanan. So the Baal HaTanya, the Drushes, makes fun of that. He said, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that Ruba the Ruba of the gzeirahs were introduced by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah and the Bais Sheni. The opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Heimar Meshlosha Dvarim, Asei Siyog LaTorah. That's one of the three mottos of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Asei Siyog LaTorah, based on the Pasuk at the end of Achrei Moshe, Shmartem Es Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres LeMishmarti. Ruba de Ruba of the Siyogim. Then he gives you a whole Kabbalistic explanation why in the Bais Rishon they didn't need so many Gzeiros. Very interesting. Why Ruba de Ruba the Gzeiros are made during the Bais Sheni period? So he said during the Bais Rishon period they had Atzma'ut, they had independent Jewish government. So the Yetzer Hara has less shlita on the Jewish people when you have Atzma'ut. And Bais Sheni, they were under Malchei Paras Umadai until the merit of the Chashmonaim. So for many years, they didn't have any independent Jewish government. Whenever the Jewish people don't have, a lot of people make fun of the Yom HaAtzma'ut. Who says Atzma'ut is important? Baal HaTanya quotes Kabbalah sources that when the Jewish people have an independent Jewish government, then the Yetzer Hara has less shlita on the Bnei Yisrael. So he said that's the reason why Ruba, the Ruba, the Gzeiros were made it during the Bais Sheni period, not the Bais Rishon period. Very surprising. So my impression was that the girls dancing on Yom Kippur, I thought that was probably in the Bais Rishon period, before they made the Gzeirah. The Gzeirah that you're not allowed to dance, Shem Yisak Meshach, was probably made in the Bais Sheni, like the Baal HaTanya says, Ruba de Ruba, the Gzeirahs are made in the Bais Sheni period. So that's why the Gemara talks about the Mashoch Muhammad also. In the Bais Sheni period, there was not. It's not Shaykh to have a Mashoch Muhammad. There was no Shem and Amishcha. How can you have a Mashoch Muhammad? In the Bais Rishon period, they had a Mashoch Muhammad. There's a famous comment that they quote in the name of Rav Kook to answer a certain kasha, and I'll close with this. Who has the higher level? The Kohen Gadol is from all the Kohanim, and he's the most important. Then you have Moshoch Muhammad, then you have the Zgan. The Zgan is the one who's prepared to take over if the Kohen Gadol retires. Or if it becomes Tommy, and you need to go on Yom Kippur, so he'll take over. So who is on a higher level, the Zgan or the Mashoch Muhammad? So there's a contradiction between two different Gemara. So one Gemara, it says that the Mashoch Muhammad is on a higher level. He's not allowed to be Metame even to the Zayin Kroivim. He has, the Gemara in the next to the last Paragon Yuma, has a whole bunch of dinim of the Kangodol. Half of the dinim apply to the Mashoch Muhammad, half of the dinim don't apply. He has a partial Kedusha's Kangodol. Why is it only partial? So that's, they quote in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that the Kohen Gadol has a Kedushas Kohen Gadol, because we do Mishicha, Mishem and Amishcha, that endows him with a higher level of Kedushas Kohuna, and we appoint him. He's appointed. Who appoints him is a question, but the Tosfos Ken Yuma quotes the Yerushalmi, the Kohen Gadol is appointed. They're not sure, appointed by Echad HaKohanim or appointed by the Sanhedrin. Probably both, okay, but he's appointed. So he has a shame Kohen Gadol, he has a title because of the minui. He's appointed Mismana Bepeh. There's a quote to Yerushalmi, he's Mismana Bepeh, he's Mistalak Bepeh. He can fire the Kohen Gadol. But even after you fire the Kohen Gadol, he still will retain the Kedusha's Kohen Gadol. Whatever dinim he has because of the Meshicha B'Shem and HaMishra, Kedusha L'Apaka B'Chadik. So even if you fire him, you remove the title, but he's still going to have the Kedusha's Kohen Gadol. So he'll have the dinim like a Mashoch Muhammad. So the Gemara usually says that the Mashoch Muhammad has a higher level of kahuna than the Zgan. The Zgan is prepared in case the Kohen Gadol will have to retire, in case Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei. And you need a Kohen Gadol on Avodas Yom Kippur, you need a Kohen Gadol Leikuva. You can't have a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah. So the Zgan is going to take over. So we usually assume Mashoch Muhammad has half of the dinim of a Kohen Gadol. He has a higher level than the Mashoch, than this guy. And here, when the Gemara says, every girl will borrow a dress from someone else, so it says the king's daughter will borrow the dress from the Kohen Gadol's daughter. Kohen Gadol's daughter will borrow the dress from the Zgan. The Zgan's daughter will borrow the dress from the Mashoch Muhammad. So how come there, the Mashoch Muhammad is lower than the Zgan? So there's a famous comment I attribute to Rav Kook, Zuchan Lebracha. If I'm not mistaken, I think they say he quoted it from the Avnei Nezer. They quote in the biographies that Rav Kook never belonged to the Mizrahi on principle. They don't explain what the principle was, but on principle he never belonged to the Mizrahi. He was always Aguda. He was appointed a member of the Vad Matzis Gedali HaTorah, and he already lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he left the Chutz Lords to attend the Knesset HaGdolah. Then the First World War broke out. He was stuck in Switzerland, and he couldn't go back to Eretz Yisrael, couldn't do anything. That's when he went to London, and he was in the Rabbanah there for a couple of years till the war was over. Then he came back to Eretz Yisrael. So they say that when he was in Switzerland, he came upon what the Balbos that he was staying by had a set of the Avnei Nezer. So he was reading different things by the Avnei Nezer. So I think they say that he said the following comment based on what he saw by the Avnei Nezer. That strictly speaking, when you talk about the Mashiach Muhammad and the Skan, the Mashiach Muhammad has half, he had Mashiach B'Sham and Amishcha, so he has Kedusha as Kohen Gadol without the title. They don't appoint him. They don't give him the title of Kohen Gadol. So all the half of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol depend on Kedusha as Kohen Gadol. He has to observe. The half of the dinim that depend on the title, he doesn't have to observe because he doesn't have the title. That's as far as the Kohanim themselves are applying, concerned. But if you're talking about their children, so there we say that the daughter of the Zgan is more important than the daughter of the Mashiach Muhammad. Why? Because Kuhuna goes Birusha, and Kuhuna Gedolah also goes Birusha. But Mashiach Muhammad doesn't go Birusha. If the Mashiach Muhammad dies, he don't try to appoint his son. Because Muhammad is always intended as a Hayruah Shah. When you appoint a Kohen, Kuhuna is Ladiris, and Kuhuna Gedolah also Ladiris, and Malchus is Ladiris. But Muhammad is Lashah. Muhammad is not supposed to be Ladiris. So that's why the son of the Mashiach Muhammad doesn't have a Kadima, that he should take over his father's position. But that's why the Gemara says that the daughter of the Mashiach Muhammad is on a lower level than the daughter of the Zgan, because the Zgan is going to take over when the Kohen Gadol dies or retires. So his children are going to take, his daughter is not going to take over, but he passes everything over Birusha to the children. That we want Ladaris Muhammad, we don't want Ladaris. Muhammad is always Lashon. That's a famous, they say the name of Rav Goldvich, Zoran Lerach, the Rosh Yeshiva from Kerem Yavna, that they used to have public discussions, public forums about Hezdi Yeshiva, where the Hezdi Yeshiva is Lachatchila B'Yevit. So he said, how can it be Lachatchila? Muhammad is always B'Yevit. We don't want Muhammad Lachatchila. The Hezdi Yeshiva, by definition, has to be B'Yevit. That's what this idea, the Mashiach Muhammad has a higher level himself, he has a higher level than the Zgan. But as far as the children are concerned, the daughter of the Mashiach Muhammad is on a lower level than the daughter of the Zgan, because Muhammad doesn't go Birusha. It's only Kohen himself. We should all celebrate Chamish Osebo. We should be zoiche to marry off all of our children, our grandchildren. We have Simchas. We just missed the engagement of our grandson in America because we're here. And then a couple of weeks ago, we missed the engagement of our grandson in Eretz Yisrael because we were there. But we missed the marriage of our granddaughter a year ago because we were there in America. We couldn't come. And then she had a baby 9 months later, and we missed the baby also. But we were here. We saw all the people who got engaged and all the people who had the baby. Should all be zeche to have many simchas.